will come to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Mahoney?
I'd like to move the minutes, Mr. Chair, having reviewed them thoroughly.
All right, thank you, Representative Mahoney. Moving the minutes dated March 21st. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Miller, you have a special guest?
I do, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank you for your graciousness in allowing me to do this. And I apologize for not coming to you sooner. However, as you know, in this committee, we like to recognize people who have been champions for agriculture, people that have risen above and gone beyond. And as you know, we oftentimes in agriculture, we talk about how it's nonpartisan, that many of us enjoy the people who provide us food and do the work possible so that the rest of this state can enjoy not only the food that they make, but also the industries that they serve. And so at this time, I'd like to recognize someone who has been especially instrumental in helping agriculture in the state of Minnesota for many years. And in order to say thanks to that person, I do have one person who I'd like to come down. It's not Majority Leader Pepin who's been the champion in agriculture, but she is going to speak, Mr. Chair, on behalf of you, Rod Hamilton, for being a great champion. And this is our way of saying happy 50th birthday to you.
You're out of order.
So Majority Leader Pepin has a resolution, and then we have a couple other things for you after this. Yeah, take the gavel out of his hands.
May I go, Mr. Chair?
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, thank you. I come as chair of the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration, and as such, we have a House resolution, and I'd like to read it today. A House resolution congratulating Representative Rod Hamilton on his 50th birthday. Whereas Rod Hamilton was born on March 25th, 1968, and has reached a milestone birthday, and whereas Representative Hamilton is a pork producer, has worked for Christensen Farms for 25 years, and is a former president of Minnesota Pork Producers, and whereas Representative Hamilton was first elected to the Minnesota House of Representatives in 2004 with me, and is serving his seventh term representing District 22B, which includes all or portions of Cottonwood, Jackson, Nobles, and Redwood counties, and whereas Representative Hamilton chairs the Agriculture Finance Committee and is also a member of the Health and Human Services Finance and Ways and Means Committees, and whereas Representative Hamilton is a passionate proponent of health and human services and agriculture issues and enjoys bipartisan support as an advocate for individuals with disabilities, mental illness, and multiple sclerosis, and whereas having a 50th birthday is a joyous occasion and a time to honor and congratulate the celebrant, now, therefore, be it resolved by the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration of the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota that it congratulates Representative Rod Hamilton on his 50th birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, there's a couple more things. We're not quite done yet.
It's not a half birthday, is it?
Okay. Thank you. Madam Majority Leader, thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Fredrickson sends his regrets, but on behalf of everyone at the Department of Agriculture, happy 50th birthday.
Please state your name for the record. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, a couple other real quick things. I'm getting away from the microphone, but with
Gene
has it. Okay, there's a birthday card signed from, I think, everyone in the committee and a lot of other people on there also. I'd like you to read it out loud because I think it's important.
We'll drop the money out of there.
You know,
there's $50 in there.
None of this is on the agenda.
Where's the cake?
Whoops.
I'm getting that.
Oh,
happy birthday.
I can't eat it.
You know what today is really about? Not cake, not candles, not presents. It's really about how much you're loved. Today and every day. Signed by everybody. Thank you.
There's a back page.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is the final thing, I promise, but there is a cake. Okay. Bad like my dad, I didn't tear off the price tag. There. So, but anyway, we have this made for you.
Oh, that's fitting.
And it says, for all you do, happy 50th birthday. And I think people should be able to see this. Could we make...
Well, one, I'm bald, and so that's fitting. And what's with the big rhino? You want to explain that?
So what there is, really should put this way for people. I think we should get a picture of this.
Yeah, take a picture of it.
So what this is a picture with Rod standing at a table, and he has a pen in his hand. You can't totally tell that. But he is writing a bill, and he has his arm around a cow. There's a turkey, a pig, a horse, but there's also a donkey, and there's an elephant, and then there's a rhino in there. It's actually a squirrel in there, too. So that's an inside joke. Let's get a picture next to Roger.
Take
it
up. Yep. Picture of that Santa doll.
Yeah, right in the picture.
So no, there's still another picture to be taken here, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Here.
Yeah, so by the way.
See what it takes to get me here on time?
I was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's to leave.
Blowing up your committee, Mr. Chair.
Don't bomb your bill for you.
What do you want again?
Oh, wait. It was
healed. Yeah, we brought plates. There's cake for... Supposedly, this cake is good enough for 48 people. I don't believe that, but...
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm not going to have any of that cake because supporting the agriculture industry, I met up with a 32-ounce prime rib last night. I'm done eating.
Fair enough, Chair Riddle. Fair enough. Well, thank you, everybody. Greatly appreciated, and more than you'll ever know.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I had.
Now it's time for cake?
You mean, yes, absolutely. Right? What's that? The page will be handing out cake.
The cake is delivered.
We're not going to get to the agenda. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just noting that Representative Poppy and I were also in that class in 2004, and Representative Hamilton and I were roommates at freshman orientation just yesterday, I think it was.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, you and I had discussed before the meeting about having a hearing on chronic wasting disease and the Board of Animal Health, and we also talked with the Department of Natural Resources. And I know Mr. Meyer is here, and maybe you want to just share what we were talking about.
Yes, thank you, Representative Hansen. And the OLA report will be coming out sometime in April, I believe. And Mr. Meyer, I know that the DNR is also working with the Department of Agriculture, and if you'd like to just make a few comments, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, thank you. And for the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources, and happy birthday, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
From all of us at the DNR. Congratulations. And thank you for the opportunity to provide a brief update on where things are at with chronic wasting disease. I think everyone is aware that the auditor is working on a program evaluation that should be, I think, will be out shortly after Easter break. So I'm hearing April 15th-ish, so right around there. So that will provide us an opportunity to continue the discussion. But we've also been working with the Board of Animal Health and Department of Agriculture and other members to try to figure out where do we go with this disease and how do we protect not only the wild herd but the farm service as well. And let me just state this. The department, the executive branch, isn't looking to shut down the industry. We want to make sure that we're protecting the wild population and also the farm service, as I mentioned, and that the laws are being enforced as they're intended to. So with that, we're looking at some possible improvements to the statutes that are there. Obviously, it needs to be done in conjunction with you all. The conversations are continuing on different drafts of language that are being floated around, so my goal is to have a conversation with you all shortly after Easter on this important subject and try to figure out how we can protect all of the animals within the state, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Representative Hansen, any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the opportunity. I think it'll be a good discussion when we come back.
Thank you. And thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for all you do. Appreciate it.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question on the study that you're going to be talking to us, or the information you're going to be bringing to us. Do you know, is it looking at the impact on other animals who may, I'm thinking of dogs and others who may be eating deer that have been affected?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I haven't had a chance to actually examine the report. My understanding is it's a broad evaluation on all of the board authorities, so it's not only going to talk about farm service, but you know, swine, cattle, the things that they do with the Dog and Cat Breeders Association. It's not specific to chronic wasting disease, so those are conversations we can have in the future, I suppose.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, I just think I have a photo of our dog carrying a deer head around. That was an animal that was dead in the woods for no reason that we know. So that's what I'm wondering about her health and other, you know, domestic animals. So that was the question. That's where it's coming from.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Thank you. All right. First on the agenda, or next on the agenda, I'll bring up the Department of Agriculture. Hi, please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Whitney Place. I'm the Director of Legislative Affairs at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. We're here today to present Governor Dayton's budget request for rural mental health funding. The governor recommends funding for the Rural Mental Health Initiative that would provide a pass-through grant from the Department of Agriculture to Minnesota State in order to hire one additional rural mental health specialist that would provide confidential one-on-one counseling tailored to farmers and their unique concerns. Mr. Chair, the governor's recommendation is to provide $200,000 for fiscal year 19 and then ongoing into fiscal year 20 and 21. And today I've brought with me Meg Moynihan, who has done a lot of work in this area in the past several months.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Chair Hamilton and Committee. For the record, my name is Meg Moynihan. I serve as Senior Advisor at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I began at the agency in 2002 and interacted with many of your offices and staffs when I was the organic lady. But for the last year, I have been Senior Advisor. I work three-quarter time on emerging issues and pressing issues, and one of those really facing us is the challenges of farm stress and mental health. In my other life, when I am not working three-quarter time for the department, I am a dairy farmer, and I'm actively involved in our family farming operation. We milk 70 cows in Lissouer County and have all sorts of other linked enterprises. And this was a case of not bringing my work home, but bringing my home to work. And after facing some deep personal and financial challenges on our farm, I found myself taking a leave of absence and going home to run the farm by myself for nearly a year. And I came back to the department with a much deeper, more personal understanding of the day-to-day stressors that farmers are under, both from my experience and those of my neighbors, who I was much closer to during that time. During the past year, we've undertaken a couple of initiatives at the department in partnership with other agriculture and commodity organizations. One of those is the Minnesota Farm and Rural Helpline, and that is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, free and confidential service available by telephone to farmers and rural residents. It was previously known as Crisis Connection, that as we reviewed our contract with the organization that provides the services, we decided it was really time to relaunch and rebrand that as something that was more approachable for farmers and rural residents. And knowing that in Minnesota, we might hem and haw and say, oh, yeah, you know, I don't know if my problem's a crisis. I don't know if I can call that line, but I got some problems I'd like to talk about. So we think it's a friendlier line. It's staffed in Minnesota by an organization to whom we also provide some ongoing professional development. They answer crisis lines for many different groups and organizations. Ours is dedicated to farm and rural issues, and so we work to help their operators and counselors understand the types of issues that farms and rural residents will be calling them. That's one initiative we've done. The other is a series of workshops, and I'm very pleased to say that several members of your committee attended those. Representative Anderson, Representative Erdahl were at our inaugural workshop in Wilmer, Representative Poppy in North Mankato. They're called Down on the Farm, and the intent behind those is to support people who work directly with farmers in their ability to recognize and respond when they see farmers in trouble. Either the, a person's basic needs trouble, stress, could be mental health issues, financial trouble, legal trouble, and these are all people that care very deeply about the community of farmers and understand their worth and their value. They want to help, but it might be outside their ken. And so I'm pleased to say that 450 individuals from all over Minnesota attended workshops at six locations, and these included agency staff and bankers, political leaders, veterinarians, social service workers, farmers, and really the entire range, and had a chance to interact and talk about the challenges that are facing farmers and what they can do in the face of those challenges. So we're very excited about this work. We have a dynamic group of farm organization partners that we're working with to continue this. Unfortunately, there is no end in sight to the crises that are facing farmers in all of our sectors, and we feel an obligation to support and lift up those farmers and the people who want to help them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for the testifier? Chair Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Ms. Place. This is to hire one person?
Ms. Place.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, our proposal is to hire one person through the Minnesota State System, and then additionally, funding would be included to conduct coordinated public information campaign, engaging farm groups and other stakeholders to do some of the activities that we've currently been doing at the department.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And are there other people with that position in the department?
Ms. Place.
And if so, how many?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, currently there's one person in the Minnesota state system who serves the entire state of Minnesota. We want to increase that to two. And currently in the department, Meg is the person who is working on these activities, and that's it. And it's a part-time position right now.
Chair Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. So you're doubling the number of people working in this. That's well, it's good. Just too bad it can't be more. Are there other, now you mentioned the crisis hotline, are there other, how many other people are working in areas that are trying to help with mental health issues with farmers?
Ms. Place.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, we do have a couple other programs that focus on, like, farmer financial issues. One that comes to mind would be our Farm Advocates Program. And those advocates work with farmers who are facing financial challenges and kind of help to connect them to some of these services. So if there's a mental health issue, our farm advocate would be able to link them to the Minnesota State Rural Mental Health Professional.
Chair Erdahl?
Yeah.
Chair Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Moynihan, I just want to say thank you for the work you've done. You bring in empathy, I think you bring in understanding. And the meetings, as you attested to, were well attended. The need is there. And I think what kind of sets this apart is we don't really see an end in sight yet. So the need is going to continue for work to help farmers navigate through these difficult financial times. So on behalf of farmers, I would just like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's work, as you know, I feel very strongly about, but I think the rest of Minnesota does too. And I spoke with our communications coordinator for a quick count on what kind of media pickup we've had. I think that's a very good indicator. I think farm and rural newspapers are tied into the issues that are facing their communities and constituencies. And we've had nearly 100 stories run in local ag media, in just kind of the local shopper papers, but also from other states and at the national level, both print and broadcast. And I think that's really a testament to the fact that we all take this problem seriously, and like you, we're rising to the challenge. Thank you.
Chair Anderson?
No, follow.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for doing this program. I'm really happy that you're leading it, and I wanted to ask you a question about some families that may not necessarily come to mind as people who would need this, but I can tell you there are. One of the things I'm thinking about is the growth of urban farming right now. We have people who are, you know, putting a lot of their time and energy and commitment into developing urban farms, and I know that there have been several situations where people have really had a hard time. I can think of one case where they spent 10 years developing their farm and then had to give it up, and just the difficulty that at least two of them had. So I'm hoping that we might include our urban farmers in that. And then I'm just wondering, would this also include farm workers who are in some of these farms? I'm thinking some of our immigrant workers and others who have special challenges in rural Minnesota. Are any of those folks being invited or outreach to, or being aware of this service?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, I think that your points are very well taken, that there's quite a diversity of types of farms and types of farmers and backgrounds of farmers. Our Farm and Rural Helpline services are, there's translation, and I believe more than 20 languages, and I think we need to do a better job getting the word out to those communities. I know we've been in touch with, for example, the Hmong American Farmers Association and others to let them know about that. We understand that challenges include finances, but can run very much deeper than that. They can be family challenges. They can be regulatory challenges. There's no shortage of stressors. Your point about farm workers, we just started working with the Upper Midwest Agriculture Safety and Health Program that's centered at the University of Minnesota, putting together a forum that will be directed toward farm and farm worker stress. And so I agree that that's a very important area to explore, and certainly want to include farm workers as major contributors to our agricultural communities and our economy.
Thank you. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. No other questions? Ms. Place, now we're talking about mental health and other MDA programming. I believe we do have some other testifiers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record and who you represent, and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations on the special birthday. Pleasure to be here to witness that. My name is Brad Slusher. I've been involved with agricultural education, and currently I am the Dean of Agriculture at South Central College and simultaneously Director of the Southern Minnesota Center of Agriculture. Pleased to be here to share with you this morning. And members of the committee, I'd like to identify that I grew up on a farm in Leesour County. Let's recognize that Ms. Moynihan and I are from that same county. That's not the only county where we're dealing with stresses. But in the 1980s, the family farm that my parents raised us, my five siblings and I on, the bank made a decision to foreclose on that farm. So this is a real significant issue. I don't have a family farm to go back to. Fortunately, I had mentors that really encouraged me to recognize what I was designed for, and that is to educate about agriculture. And so I've had that opportunity to teach high school agriculture, teach also at the post-secondary level, and today I spend an awful lot of my time teaching administrators about how important agriculture is. So I'd like to share with you, as a Dean of Agriculture, I've got in the state, we have two centers of excellence in agriculture from Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. There are 66 individuals that teach farm business management education, and they are very concerned and supportive of rural mental health. And they are employed by eight different colleges in the Minnesota State system. I'll share with you that we are experiencing a fourth year of suppressed farm income where we're, on many farms, we're not able to cover the family living and debt service. Dairy is probably the single worst enterprise at this point. Faculty are engaged in visiting with their students. That number is about 2,200 farmers that are enrolled in farm business management education within the Minnesota state system. Their students are dealing with bankruptcy, mediation, debt restructure, and this is more the rule than the exception. So we're dealing with some real normal circumstances here. We're also recognizing this, however, is quite silent, but there are suicides that have taken place in the farm population. And that does outpace the normal civilian population. We're currently, as has been identified, we have one individual that services rural mental health through the Farm Business Management Program. As you've learned, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture has appropriations. Last year it was $113,000 that goes from the Department of Agriculture to Minnesota State. Minnesota State directs it to South Central College, where I'm the dean, and we have a contract with one mental health provider. Ted Matthews is providing that to nearly 2,700 farmers. You do not need to be a student enrolled in farm business management. Ted is non-discriminating. If you're dealing with stresses, He's doing his best to assist and help. Faculty oftentimes get caught in situations where they're uncomfortable and unqualified to answer. Oftentimes our faculty will meet with a farmer out on their farm or specifically in their office, one-on-one situations, and that's where revelations take place as to, you know, things are really becoming extremely stressful, hard to manage, and so typically what our faculty who have a very strong relationship with Mr. Matthews, they simply offer a card and say, contact Ted. And the makeup of the farm population is such very proud individuals, oftentimes very solitary, and not often interested in driving their pickup to a facility where they would be identified in their community as somebody having some struggles. So the dynamic of farm operations, family structure, ownership decisions is really unique to farmers. Unique personal attention is required in some instances for our farm business management faculty to get in a situation where they are working on cash flows and balance sheets that right now aren't balancing and oftentimes are in the red, and it's stressful for them. So we also have had instances where our faculty have contacted Mr. Matthews to assist with that. Farm succession is now needed more so than in the past. The average age of a farmer, I had my birthday earlier this month. If I were farming, I would be an average farmer at 57.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. However, think about this in terms of a lifetime. In often instances, it's multiple generations, and the stresses that are associated with having to take over land, take over operations that your parents and your grandparents and maybe multiple generations, that adds stress. And stress happens over time. Costs in farming are ever increasing, and that simply makes it prohibitive sometimes for individuals to enter farming. The current economics are very challenging to support succession plans, and the financial shortfall is significant. Sometimes the issues that are identified to me by faculty or even students are simply that marriage issues, family issues, those kinds of things. Our current specialist is funded, as I mentioned, through the Department of Agriculture, 27 to 100 to 1, very thin. The proposal that I'm hearing here this morning would be to increase that capability. Right now, Mr. Matthews is available throughout the state. If we could add another person to the Minnesota state system, we would probably go to the Northern Center of Agriculture. My counterpart, Keith Olander, is located in Staples and very connected with farmers in that region. That would be a proposal that I would suggest. Why do we need a specialist? Farm business management has had a history of over 60 years of working with farmers individually. Survey after survey has demonstrated this is a cornerstone of the program, building a relationship with integrity. And that's probably why farmers are willing to say and raise their hand and say, I need some help here. What do we have that would be appropriate for individuals? Too many times it's the people who come from the farm are not aware or recognize the social life of a farmer. Pretty solitary. It requires a special skill set to treat the social and mental health needs, while some don't have a grasp of what the agriculture sector is. So it's not just anyone that can provide the needs on rural mental health. I appreciate that there are several options that have been identified this morning. Hopefully you're recognizing that through the Minnesota State System, the Farm Business Management Education is also a safety net and a way to facilitate the financial needs. The position, if we were to add, certainly does need flexibility and location. I receive an annual report from a current provider, and over 20,000 miles were logged this past year in meeting and satisfying the calls for assistance on rural mental health. Just want to identify some of the issues that were addressed by our current specialist, and frustration with agencies and bureaucratic hassles. That's what farmers have to deal with. Partner and labor relations, communication between family members, business partners, and lenders. Challenging role for women on the farm. Stress from seeking financial assistance. Family relationships, concern about the weather. Uncertainty over markets and their trends. Working with other farmers for more profitability. Fear of losing the family farm. Feelings of dread or hopelessness. Stress, anxiety, and depression. Domestic abuse. I'd like to close by sharing an experience I had back in about 1984 or 1985. I was teaching high school agriculture in Watonwan County, and I was visiting with parents of two students that I had in my program. It was after the school day. I went out, took a look at a couple beef calves that the students had, and they had their records, and things were good. And I went in and sat down with Dad, and he shared with me after the sons departed, and he said, you know, said, I've been doing this for 50 years. And he said, I don't know if I got another year in me. He said, I don't know if I'll be able to provide for my children or have them be involved with agriculture. And I'm a young agricultural educator. My mom oftentimes said to me, you're pretty wet behind your ears to be doing some of this kind of stuff. And she was right. So I was about 24, 25 years of age. And he said, with tears in his eyes, I just don't know if I can keep this farmer going. So I witnessed it back in the 80s. I'm seeing it happening again, and just here to be a resource. If you have questions, I would be open to answering those to the best of my ability.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Any questions for the testifier members? All right, thank you. Thank you for your, I'm sorry, Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Schlesinger, for your comments. I know they're sincere. My expectation is that your staff also sees the successes of it. Are you privy to stories where, you know, after receiving counseling that family was healthier and that sort of more solid and could move forward with better capacity?
Schlesinger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I will identify to you the unique aspect of the rural mental health service that we provide is very anonymous. So I don't have any stories, but I do have instances where faculty members working with farmers have identified that a student that is enrolled in their farm business management program, an active farmer in the community, has sought assistance and things are improving. There are times in the office. I am located in North Mankato at South Central College, and Mr. Matthews will call me or sometimes arrive unannounced. I do my best to find an open office. I've got six faculty that teach agribusiness for our post-secondary students, and while they're in class, I ask if we can use that office, and so Mr. Matthews will meet with individuals that have contacted him. I have seen individuals that have returned. They have a smile on their face when they come, and I say, I hope things are going well, and offer them blessings. That's all I can offer to you.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Okay. Seeing no other question. Oh, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is maybe a bit of a touchy question, but I want to ask it. It's one of the last times I'm going to get to ask these kinds of questions, maybe. So I listened very carefully to your list of which is, I want to say, having been one of those young people whose parents, had, although they were tenant farmers, in the end they had to sell out their farm, and it was very traumatic, and I just remember what that was like. But the question I wanted to ask is about, I'm aware of, and I remember talking to some of the, one of the farm organization leaders about something that's happening with some of their immigrant farmers. that they were losing, they were afraid of losing some of the families that they have who work for them because they're not legally documented. And I'm just wondering if you are dealing with that at all. I realize it's a touchy situation, but has that come up at all, or are you in any way thinking about that, or has there been any outreach both to the individuals and to the farmers who have shared that they're worried about not being able to do their farming because of fear of losing their undocumented workers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, I can share with you on multiple occasions. Faculty have shared with me, farmers have shared with me, family members have shared with me. I have my wife and I have two daughters. One of our daughters is married to a dairyman, and he has had in his employment in their dairy operation one or two individuals. Multiple times he has had individuals that are immigrants and do good work, and on one occasion it was identified that the person was leaving due to some of the concerns. This has been over a period of last 5 to 7 years. Because of our decisions of our leaders within our government, in an effort to be more compassionate, when I was teaching post-secondary agriculture, I recognized as I would go to facilities, I've been in hog operations and dairy operations, and I see the individuals that help provide us for our food and our nourishment, and oftentimes I was unable to communicate. So I had the privilege of being allowed a sabbatical, and I enrolled in Spanish for the first time in 2004. Mine was pretty fossilized at the time. English was my native and only language. And after that, I completed an immersion in Honduras just to experience South America and the language and the culture. And I think probably as a result of those types of experiences that I've been more sensitive to and more aware, yes, it is happening, and we're trying to identify best practices in which to accommodate those that are managing our land resources and farming, and also recognizing that as I direct the work of our center, we have workforce significant challenges. There are less young people that are coming off of farms. That's been a constant. Back in 1983 when I started teaching, we were short of agricultural educators and short of people in the workforce. In the 80s, parents oftentimes pushed their students away. Think back to the statement that I shared about the father crying at the kitchen table sharing with me the story. He discouraged his young people, his children, from entering agriculture. Fortunately, one of three did, but that number continues to decline. And so we continue to be more productive in agriculture as a result of technology and knowledge, but in terms of the workforce, we need more people in what we do and how we process our tremendous abundance.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We have one more question, then we're going to move to the bills. Representative Munson.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank you for this work. It's really important. The next generation of farmers looks to their parents to see the level of stress that they go through in their business to make a decision on whether they're going to continue the farm, and that's really important. I also understand that and recognize that the state probably puts a lot of stress and burden on farmers. I mean, this brochure could just say farm and rural stress brought to you by the MPCA and the Department of Revenue. And I think that doing everything we can do to reduce regulations and taxes on farmers would also go a long way to reducing stress on the farm. With that in mind, does the Department of Revenue and the MPCA that takes phone calls, do they have the hotline? Because I'm sure that they deal with some pretty, stressed out farmers calling to complain. I know that we are a hotline as well. I hear from farmers already in my, long 1 month I've been here in the legislature, I hear from farmers, constantly about these, the nitrogen rule and such. And now that I have this hotline, without, offending someone, I'd love to give them that information to call if they need help, because some of them are overstressed. Does this information, does the Department of Revenue and the MPCA have these phone numbers as well?
Mr. Slusher, can you comment on that? Otherwise,
Mr. Chair, Representative Munson, I can confirm to you broadly sharing, yes, available, and we continue to identify the word, even use of social media for purposes. We have a farm business management
Facebook page through our Center of Agriculture, as does the Northern Center of Agriculture, and so we're making it available in that regard as well. Thank you for the question.
Monson. All right. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Representative Backer. Now, we do have three bills up today dealing with this issue. Representative Backer, we're going to have Representative Pearson's going to move House File 2888.
I'll make that motion. Thank you.
We have the bill before us. Representative Backer.
Yes, this is a really simple bill. We've had the testifiers before me, so I'm not going to repeat what they shared, the importance. I do like what Representative Mahoney said, that we do. Unfortunately, the ag industry does get a lot of stress from agencies. Yesterday I heard that Bowser was out in Traverse County not being very cooperative with the buffer, in my opinion. We need this. We need to help, you know, greater Minnesota feeds the metro area. And we have to remind that. So with that said, I would ask for your support, Chair, and the members for this, and testifiers. They all testified before me, so we're doing good.
All right, thank you.
That was a little unusual, but welcome. There
you are. Any questions for Representative Backer? Being none? Any closing comments?
Thank you for your support, members.
All right. The House File 2888 is held over for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Swazinski had to step out. He's in another committee. Representative Poppy. Representative Poppy moves House File 2896 to be held over for possible inclusion. We have the bill before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Many members. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for the opportunity today to highlight the need for counseling and for other activities that could reduce stress for farmers. Just as a personal note, I work as a counselor at Riverland Community College, and I've worked with farmers and people who are engaged in agricultural activities, as well as other students who are coming to the college and might be from farms or from an ag background. But I today have a very special guest to do some testifying on behalf of the bill, and it is we would like to see about an increase, and I appreciate that the Department of Ag is increasing, proposing to increase the amount of money for the mental health counseling. So the bill that I have in front of you is to increase the mental health counseling amount, as well as farm advocates. And in the past, we've done that. We've increased funding for both, and I'd like to see that again be a priority for this body and for this Ag Finance Committee. So today, I'm introducing Ted Matthews. You've heard his name numerous times, including today. He is the remarkable Ted Matthews, because he is traveling all over the state and providing just such solid assistance to farmers. And so I just want to turn it over to him so he can kind of describe really what he does and the benefit he provides to farmers throughout the state.
Mr. Matthews, welcome. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you. Ted Matthews. Infamous is more often what they call me. But I do have the entire state. And unfortunately and luckily, I asked Gene before I came in how much the people in this committee know about farming, because it's a complex thing to work with farmers and understand how they process. I would guarantee that there's not one person in this room that has ever heard a farmer say, "I think I'll call my psychologist." So it doesn't happen. And what happens is other people that work with farmers need to be able to trust the people that are working in mental health field, and as of right now, that's me, but they need to trust. And the ways that that happens is, you know, the Farm Business Management instructors, I've worked with a ton of them on their own personal levels, their family issues, and they trust me because I've worked with them. They know what I do, and they know the people I've worked with, so that makes a big difference. also with Extension and all kinds of other farm organizations. I work with them on a one-to-one basis and with family issues, so I can, without them worrying about it, have them call me. And when a farmer calls me, they never call and say anything except, "Hi, Ted." You know, everybody identifies me as Ted. No credentials, no thoughts about those credentials, because that makes them uncomfortable. And working, you know, I've heard some of the testimony here today, and working with migrants, that's become a big issue for a lot of different reasons. It's a broad issue. I was called in very recently to a farm where he has several migrants, and he had all of the farmers that worked for him in uniform, except the migrants, and they didn't have anything, even though some of them had been working there for years. So knowing that they needed to put that together. Now, it's easy to say, you know, what's wrong with that farmer? Why did he do what he does? The fact is, they don't know, you know, and that's why they turn to a lot of people, and I'm one that they turn to, but they don't know what to do. And there's so many issues on the farm. You know, people constantly talk to me about suicide. You know, that's a big issue, and in the media right now, that's a huge issue. Well, 80% of all disease is caused by stress. So how much stress do farmers have? Now, farmers have stress when everything is absolutely awesome. Because, how I look at it is, a farmer goes for their operating loan, and they're nervous when they go to the bank. And then they get their operating loan, and then they have to plant. And it might be too cold, it might be too hot, it might be too wet, it might be too dry. The seed costs might be high, so then they go through that stress. Okay, they get through that one, and then they spray, and they hope it doesn't rain too soon or too late or if it's too hot or too cold. And then they get the crop in, and they hope that it's a good yielding crop and that the money is good so that they can make money. And if it is, then they get all done, they take a deep breath, and then they go get their operating loan. So when doesn't the farmer have stress? So lowering stress becomes the key, not do they have stress. All farmers have stress, and all farmers have lots of stress. It's a matter of lowering it. And depression is a huge reason for suicide. Now, it isn't the idea is not to find people who are really depressed and help them out of that. That is obviously a goal if they're in that position. But the idea is to have a lower stress and a lower depression by working with them far ahead of those issues. So, and to do that, you need to do trainings. You need to do trainings with people who work with farmers, whether it's with banks and Meg's program. Meg's program did a great job in doing that. It identified that to a lot of banks and clergy and so on, and we're all in this together. This isn't Ted's show, you know. And the more that we work together and the more focus that we have on what we can do, the better chance we have at lowering, for one, the suicide rate, lowering the stress rate. There's so many people that just don't understand agriculture, which is why there's a program for mental health in agriculure rather than just have an outside source that says, we'll see mental health people. I've heard that one forever, and I've never heard of anybody that volunteers to go. So they don't. So I've rambled on long enough. Any questions? So,
Mr. Matthews, Ted, we thank you for everything that you've done.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Any questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Matthews, or I'll call you Ted.
Good.
I've heard your name before for several years, and it's really an honor to meet you. I think the suicide situation that you identify is particularly concerning, and I was wondering if you ever encounter situations where families are concerned about a gun being in the house, and how you handle that where there's possibility for suicide.
Well, that's one of the beauties of what I do. I work for sheriff's departments all the time. So I call sheriff's departments when I don't know what to do, when there's a potential violent thing, or actually anywhere across the state. I don't know, for one, if a mental health facility is open. So if there's an emergency and I get called and it's in Blue Earth County and I'm in Stevens County, it's pretty hard for me to deal with it. So I call the sheriff's departments, and the sheriff's department will go out there and do what they need to do, and they always ask about guns and whether they can whether they need to be taken off the property. That's always, at least always that I, when I've dealt with it, that's been that way.
Representative Johnson. No. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Poppy, thank you for bringing the bill forward. I think listening to you and Mr. Matthews, I appreciate the lack of judgment in terms of determining why people are seeking help. I think when people are seeking help, we need to be able to provide that without making a judgment as to why they're seeking help. My particular question is, if you have my familiarity with rural areas, there may be the farmer, the landowner, but you may have rural tenants, or maybe the widow that lives in the small town. Do you turn anyone away? Do they have? Is there a requirement that they have to be an operator? Can they be a renter, or just maybe
talk about that? No, there's no requirement.
Mr. Matthews.
No. And there's never any charge, because that's provided through the funding that we get. So that makes it a lot easier. And if I might add, that also means I don't have to give them a diagnosis. And if I don't have to give them a diagnosis, that makes my life a lot easier, too, because the paperwork is so much less.
Senator Hansen.
And, Mr. Chair, and you know, I know a number of folks get their rural electric bill, and sometimes there's flyers in there. Is that... is there any way of getting I'm just looking, how do you get information out to people who to be aware of it? And that might be a way of having the call number into the REA bill to get the word out. I don't know if that's been done or not.
Mr. Matthews, or anybody want to comment on that? Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hansen, I think that's a good idea. I mean, certainly... we'll also hear from Flag, and we'll be talking about this a little bit more, but certainly getting information to people and letting them know about the resources and getting them access to the resources is critical, because Ted Matthews does travel throughout the state, but he also is available by phone, and he's available to be able to answer maybe simpler or quicker questions, but he can also respond as the need is more and more severe. I had the good fortune of going to the Down on the Farm, the Meg Moynihan presentation, and we had in North Mankato, and there was a man there who gave personal testimony about his own situation and how he was on the edge of the cliff and got help. I mean, it's so... is touching to think about, because he was brave enough to share that in a room full of his neighbors and the bankers and the social workers and the people that were all in attendance to be able to say that. I mean, people knew who he was, and when he was able to describe that, you know, it's a profound thing for somebody to identify for themselves that they're in need, and then to be able to reach out. They need to be able to reach out and have access. So mental health counseling is certainly critical to many people's survival. And I just I'm so appreciative of the work that Ted does, because he's a fairly unassuming person who comes in and is immediately trusted, because he's their guy that they go to, and I think that's important. And so to add a second person to be able to do that, you're not going to be able to replicate Ted. You can't clone him, but to find somebody who he would be able to work with, I think also would require that he be able to get some additional opportunities to train people. He's done that for many years, but that's going to be important as well, to train who the people are that are going out and doing the service. And I'm just I very much appreciate that he's here today to be able to describe what he's done and to really put that face to the name that we've all heard.
Thank you. Representative Hansen, do you have a follow-up? Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Poppy, for bringing this forward. Very important. Ted, I guess it is. I farm in the northwest corner of Minnesota. So there's a lot of miles between us. Is it often that you hear from farmers, you know, in the northwest area, and how do you deal with that?
Mr. Matt.
Well,
please, go ahead, Mr. Matt.
I deal with it most of the time by phone. I do go up there on occasion. I was just up there about a week ago. But it is very difficult, as you said, to be in the entire state. And one of the reasons I live where I do, I live in Hutchinson now, and that's because it's a good location for going in every direction and trying to be home before midnight. And I, you know, I'm old. I don't like sleeping in hotels anymore. So I would much rather be able to get home. And that's a good location for me. But that's another reason that it would be really helpful to have another person. It's just impossible to do the whole state. A while ago, I had a call, and I was on my way to a suicide or an attempted suicide in the southeastern part of the state. And in the northwestern part of the state, there was another one. And so they called me, and I called up the old hotline, which is no longer there, thank goodness. But I called up the old hotline, and I said, you know, I need a psychologist to go up and deal with that. And they said, oh, yeah, we have one, Ted Matthews. And that was a little disconcerting for me. So I had to find one while I'm driving, and I had to find somebody to go take care of that. And that's why I'm so very happy that the Department of Ag has now a new hotline that is very efficient, and all the things that I've heard so far have been really good. The Department of Ag has been awesome. I've just really enjoyed working with them, and Gene has been great to work with. So I feel truly blessed because, you know, I'll be honest with you, most of the time I get left alone, and that's awesome. But lately, I've been hounded by every newspaper on the planet, and it's driving me crazy. I want to give it to everybody else, because this program isn't me. This program is, yes, I'm the therapist, but all of the people that bring people to me and have people call me, they're the keys, because there was never anything like that before. And so the keys are all the people that work with farmers that trust that there's a place that they can go, that because it's taken too long to I'm going to just throw out something that farming for 5,000 years was the same. I mean, the equipment has changed, but the wife brought up little farmers, the husband went outside and did the farming, and the kids grew up to either be raising little farmers or become the farmer. That's the way it worked forever. And now, what weighs more than 50 pounds on the farm anymore? So women can farm and are starting to farm more and more, and they would be farming a lot more if it wasn't that we're always behind. But there's no reason for that not to happen. And so they are a much stronger voice than they ever were. Well, why that becomes difficult and why that becomes a mental health issue is when you look back, you're trying to, you know, your grandma's not going to be able to explain what it was like, because they had it the way it was forever before that. So the big thing that has happened on farms is women are farming and women are doing the books. And if a woman does the books, she creates one thing, and that is an opinion. And that opinion is oftentimes not what their husband wants to hear. So that creates all kinds of issues, and everything on the farm is changing. So because of all of those changes, there's more and more and more of a need. Women are working off the farm. that's a huge stressor because they don't want to work off the farm. They need to because they need insurance and all of those other reasons. So they need more communication between husbands and wives because it's so complex. And they have less and less time to have that because one's working off the farm and the other one's not. You know, farming is a way of life. It's not an occupation. So everything centers on that, even when they're losing money. And that's why it's illogical to farm, but it's in people's blood. They farm because it's who they are. It's what they are.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I understand this greatly. I'm a farmer's daughter who became a farmer's wife. And when I first started helping on the farm, first raised the little farmers who are now farming. And I eventually ended up planting because there were stressors on the farm, and my husband said, how do we handle this? And so I ended up driving tractors, which my father-in-law's concern was a little challenging for a while because my sister-in-law blew up a truck when she was young, and that was the end of girls on the farm. But it worked out just fine. And as you say, doing the books, marketing the crops were my first jobs, and eventually planting and harvesting gave me a new appreciation. And that's part of the challenge. When wives work off the farm, everyone's going in different directions, and it's hard to understand. We're blessed up in northwestern Minnesota with also the Northwestern Mental Health Center. And there are many people that work there that have farming backgrounds. And that's important. But as you say, farming is a different type of life. And I think part of the stressors of our farmers is also that if things fail, it isn't just the finances or the weather or the multitude of things that happen, but you also fail in some way, you're feeling you fail the family. Mm-hmm. Because it's been in my family for years and generations. I come off of an actual 5-generation farm. I'm watching the 6th grow up. And there are challenges and stressors and family, and you live and work with the same people all the time, and that becomes almost a challenge in itself. But I really want to impress upon everyone that this is important because it is the basis of our food. And we're losing farmers. We need to encourage more farmers to join. And there's a lot of wonderful support systems. And it breaks my heart when I see someone take their life because there are solutions. So my other suggestion would be, as I think about this a little bit, I know that part of the farming solution to stressors is, especially in the winter, the guys get together and have coffee. And sometimes I invade, one of the few women that shows up, but there are women around, but more importantly, that talking, that be able to have that conversation about what goes on back and forth and how are you dealing with this, but they're not going to talk about mental health problems, stressors. I highly doubt that would come up. So what my suggestion is I'm wondering, do we, and I haven't been there lately, but do we advertise in farm co-ops and on boards, you know, bulletin boards and information that is around for people to pick up, you know, here's who I contact, here's a phone number, and I can quietly pick that up and just call it later. I think it would be, maybe the Department of Ag does that already because I just haven't paid attention to that, but I think that would be a good way of doing that, and certainly if you haven't, working through, connecting with the Northwestern Mental Health Center, I know they're very challenged too, but that's another way of getting some more help. I would say that, Ted, you're a little anonymous, so when people call you, you don't know my background. You're not related to me. That's one of the things with the mental health center. They're related. They're often, I know these people. So do I really want to open up to that person, that cousin or whatever? So anyway, just some ideas. So thank you very much for what you do.
You're very welcome. And the other part of that is if you call a mental, I worked there in a mental health center for a number of years, and if you call a mental health center, you automatically have to make an appointment. And if you make an appointment, you have to see them for at least an hour. And if you see them for an hour, you have to have a diagnosis. Those are all absolute because that's the only way they get paid. People can call me and talk to me for 5 minutes because that's their question, a 5 minute one. And I would hate to guess how many calls that I have that are under 20 minutes for people just asking questions. Mm-hmm. You know?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Chair Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Matthews, how many calls do you get in a typical day?
Mr. Matthews.
Wow. Anywhere between 15 on a really slow day to 40 on a really busy day.
Wow. Chair Erdahl.
That's interesting. I guess gives some depth to the problems that are out there. Just another quick question. What part of Hutch do you live in?
I live almost right downtown. I live on, where do I live now? My wife loves houses, so I've lived in 9 houses in 25 years. It's scary to me. Maybe she does it because she doesn't want us to be found. I don't know. I live on Hasson Street right now.
Chair Riddle.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make it easier on you. West or east of Highway 15?
Mr. Matthew.
East.
Chair. You got lucky then to represent Grunhagen as your representative.
Thank you. So, Representative Poppy, do you have any other testifiers?
I think there might be other people who want to testify.
All right. So then at this time, is there anybody else who would like to testify for or against this bill? Please make your way up.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and begin.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm James Connie. I'm a dairy farmer from Franklin, Minnesota, out in southwestern Minnesota. I'd like to thank Representative Poppy for moving these bills forward. I'm going to address this morning both the Farm Advocate Bill and the Flag Bill, the Farmers Legal Action Group Bill. That way I'm only up here once. They're both bills proposed by Representative Poppy, and we support them. We speak in support of them. Before I begin my testimony, I'd like to give a little testimony of one of the farm advocates that you have working on behalf of farmers out there. If you look at, there's a handout in front of you on farm advocates, and there's 10 farm advocates in the state, and Connie Dykes is one of them. She is based in Lake City, Minnesota, and she wanted to share this, but she wasn't able to be here today. Have you ever had a sheriff come and serve you a summons? This is happening more and more. Farm families are stretched and stressed. The Farm Service Agency, bankers, and mediators are calling on farm advocates to help farmers figure out their financial status. Farm advocates serve an important role of advocating for farmers. That is their job, and they are often the only ones around the table keeping farmers' rights and best interests in mind. The number of new cases taken on in a month has doubled since the beginning of this year. It is expected to continue to rise. Often, cases take a year to resolve. Currently, farm advocates are so busy that they respond to those who call and are actively pushing cases forward, even though there are many others that need their help. It is not uncommon for farm advocates to put in overtime on their contracts to try and meet the demand. This demand continues to rise. Most recently, it's been over 60 hours a week for some of the farm advocates out there in the field. This is from Connie Dykes, one of your farm advocates working. Myself, this morning, I'm a dairy farmer. I drove in from southwestern Minnesota on Highway 212, and I looked around the fields. And, you know, farmers do this all the time as they drive. You always look out across the land. You don't always look down the road. And it drives everybody else nuts. What are you looking at? I'm looking at the land waking up in the spring. I'm looking at the farm buildings, and I'm thinking about those people out there, those farmers, and the stresses they are under. I'm thinking back to one of my neighbors. We have a meeting. We get together, like we talked about, once a week. There are 11 of us. You can guess what we're doing. And I was talking to him a couple weeks ago. And he said, I went to get my order to talk to my banker, and the best I could come up with is I'm going to lose $35 an acre this year. He runs like 3,000 acres. That means he's going to lose $100,000 farming this year. That's a major stressor. I'm concerned about him. Partially because I know his grandfather hung himself in the early 80s. Now, that farm did not get foreclosed on back then. That farm did not go under. His neighbor's dad had it under control and pulled it through. They lost some land, but they pulled through. But my neighbor's grandfather did not. And that's what we're looking at. Stressors that people feel they cannot handle. I look back at the 80s. I look back with some worry about what we're facing today. Because I've seen this before. And we put in place during the 1980s a pretty good safety net. Department of Ag, Farm Advocates, FLAG, all came out of the 1980s farm crisis. We have been fortunate that we have kept those in place, and now is the time to reinforce that safety net and give more of a net for people to fall into. On a personal note, back in the 1980s, I know we didn't lose our farm, but my dad had gone back to school after I got out of college. I was a psych major in college. And I came back, and he wanted to go back to college. He went back, got a small business degree, a small engine degree, and started a small engine shop. But it failed in the early 80s, and he used a farm advocate at that time. But our farm could have gone under if I had co-signed his note, and the bank wanted us to co-sign. He put me under a lot of pressure and said, all you got to do is just sign here. I said, no. I'm not co-signing my dad's note on the small engine thing, because that would have pulled our farm under. At the same time, I hadn't met her yet, but my wife was married to her first husband. And they were going under a lot of stress also. And he was falling under schizophrenia. She bears the scars of that relationship to this day, physically. He shot her with a shotgun. Almost took her left arm off. Now, if there had been a little bit more effective mental health system in place in the early 80s, late 70s, she probably wouldn't have had that situation, because they were struggling. They were asking for help, and it wasn't there. If you're asking, does this affect people? Yes, it affects people. Every person out there has got stresses happening to them, and every family can talk about this with their neighbors and their family members. Now, what we're talking about today is funding for a couple of groups, Farm Advocates and Farmers Legal Action Group. These are two groups that are vitally important because there are people in the field that have training, they know what's going on, and they have experience. We need more funding for them. And I'd like to say that as we go forward, if we have a stronger safety net, things will be better. That's pretty much the end of my testimony. I got one other thing to add as a land stewardship member. We've got the Family Farm Breakfast coming up, and I invite all of you to come. The mugs just came in today, the beautiful mugs. You can get your new mug. And on April 12th, come down for the best breakfast in town, right across the street. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony. Representative Pop, is there anybody else who would like to testify for or against House File 2896? Pardon me? Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thanks for the bill. Just wondering, on the 3515 anyway, I think there's five organizations listed in the bill. Any idea how that funding would be broken down or how it would be allocated out to the various groups?
Chair Anderson, we're still on 2896. We'll take up that next one here shortly. All right, so we'll save that question, please. All right, nobody else wanting to testify on this? Any last words, Representative Poppy?
Just again, happy birthday, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for actually highlighting this and taking the time today to just really showcase what the needs are as well as what the resources are. I think it's important, and so thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. House File 2896 will be held over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Swazinski. Representative Juergens would move House File 3255. We have the bill before us. Representative Swazinski, you do have an amendment, the A1 amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right, I'll move the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like to present it. Any discussion on the A1 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Swazinski, welcome to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton. I'll speak just generally to the portion. I think Representative Hoppe and there's a couple other bills, or Poppy, will talk a bit more about the just general funding of the new position. And the amendment itself, the A1, and the language that's contained in it, really kind of was a product of a few conversations that I'd had with folks out of the Farm Business Management and just some stories that I'd heard about just from the limitations geographically. Mr. Ted spoke about it as well, about that one instance where he had to maybe find someone else locally that could take over during a suicide attempt. And what this does is simply set aside a few dollars that would potentially pick up the cost in those rare instances where the primary or the secondary psychologist or therapist would maybe not be able to be there in person. Maybe it would be a weather-related, maybe it would be sickness, so that we could potentially get somebody else in the professional field to that person and then have those costs covered. So just as those conversations happen, maybe it's 20 minutes, maybe it's 5 minutes, but it's an actual physical visit, that those dollars would be available to the individual producer to help cover those costs in the rare event that if it's needed a personal visit or and that's really kind of the basis of what I wanted to move forward and visit with about that particular. So,
thank you. Any questions? Representative Clark.
Good question, Mr. Chairman. So does that, with the amendment, does that make it a statewide opportunity then?
Representative Swazinski.
Mr. Chair, it's as long as you're a producer, I think, within the state of Minnesota, I think the idea is that you've already developed a relationship with the therapist that we already have on staff. This would be, in that rare instance, well, hey, it's snowing between Hutchinson and metropolitan area or between here and Duluth. Someone really needs to get there, but he can't. This would just kind of allow some kind of wiggle room, pressure relief valve from the system to kind of account for that. We have a big state, and I think we all believe that there maybe should, if we can, have a second person, but even with two people, I think there'd be a potential need for something like this, and I would absolutely be open as far as how this would move forward with the department if we need to shape it differently, but it's kind of the idea, the crux of what we're going after. So,
thank you. Representative
thank you.
Clark.
Thank you.
All right, that's all I have. Any other questions? Anybody like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing moving forward, please state your name for the record, who you represent, and begin.
Good morning. My name is Amber Hansen-Glazer. I'm the Director of Public Policy for Minnesota Farm Bureau. Thank you for allowing me to just share a few thoughts with you on this topic. We appreciate all the conversations surrounding finding resources for rural mental health. This is something that Minnesota Farm Bureau has identified as a priority issue for this year. It's something our farmers are talking about, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, we're in the situation we are, but our members are asking for these resources, they're using these resources, and we just appreciate all the efforts to make sure that they have someone to talk to when they really need to. So thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none. Thank you so much. Any final words?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and just also thank Representative Poppy for her work on this. So,
all right. Thank you. Representative... Representative Juergens, you moved that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Representative Juergens, the House file, which number was that?
3255,
as amended, is held over for possible inclusion. Thank you. Representative Poppy. Representative Poppy moves House File 3515. We have the bill before us.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members. Thanks again for the opportunity today. You know, this really just showcases how everything, all of these resources work together. Certainly, Ted Matthews is a part of the combined effort. Farm advocates are part of that combined effort. And FLAG is another resource that farmers can identify the need for. And so it's a resource for them to be able to get some legal assistance. Prior to the meeting today, we were discussing it a little bit, and Ted Matthews and Scott hadn't previously met, but they had the opportunity to meet, and I know that the work of FLAG is going to likely increase, and potentially the work of Ted will increase because of that connection. Certainly the farm advocates often use both resources, and so it's just it's really that safety net and that surrounding of the resources that can help when it comes to assistance, either legal assistance or mental health counseling or whatever it might be. So I appreciate today the opportunity to bring before you the request for some additional funding for FLAG, which is on House File 3515. And with me today is Scott Carlson. He's the Executive Director for FLAG, and so I'm going to turn it over to him, and he would be able to provide some testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Carlson, please state your name for the record.
Chairman Hamilton, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Representative Poppy and all of the members of the committee, my name is Scott Carlson. I am the Executive Director of the Farmers Legal Action Group, which you might know as FLAG. Thank you for inviting FLAG to testify today in strong support of File 3515, an appropriation to help FLAG's efforts to respond to the legal needs of farmers facing financial stresses as a result of the extended poor farm economy, which has resulted from 4 years of low crop and livestock prices. I'll first give a brief background of FLAG and then provide a brief description of our current workload. FLAG is a 32-year-old nonprofit law center dedicated to providing legal services and support to family farmers in our communities to help keep the farmers on the land. We offer our services nationally, but conduct approximately two-thirds of our work in Minnesota, and we're headquartered here in St. Paul. As the previous testifier mentioned, FLAG was created in response to the farm credit crisis of the 1980s after tens of thousands of families lost their farms due to low commodity prices and overwhelming debt. In 1986, some legal aid lawyers and some lawyers in private practice shifted from providing general legal aid services or practices to providing legal services only to farmers facing dire financial difficulties, and they represented 230,000 farmers nationwide in a case called Coleman v. Ling, which raised successful challenges to illegal procedures that the then Farmers Home Administration used to freeze farm income and force farm families off the land. A federal judge issued an injunction stopping the foreclosures of 80,000 farms. Since the farm crisis of the 1980s, FLAG's work has broadened to include educating farmers on state and federal laws and on farm program benefits to help increase and protect farm income, manage financial risk, and improve farmers' financial lives. We operate a legal assistance hotline to advise farmers on pressing legal needs. We refer farmers to other helpful services such as the Minnesota Farm Advocates and the Farmer Lender Mediation Program. We also help farmers navigate federal farm programs, including representing farmers in appeals of adverse decisions by USDA agencies. We provide legal support to other Minnesota farm organizations and private attorneys, and we work on many other important issues. And throughout its history, the direction of FLAG's work has been guided by the legal needs and the policy objectives of its clients and client organizations. Now, in 2018, again 32 years after FLAG was founded during a credit crisis, we're again facing, as you all know, one of the most difficult farm economies in recent memory. Net farm income has fallen approximately 50% since 2013 and is forecast to fall again in 2018 by 6.7% nationally. And in Minnesota, it's forecast to fall only 3.5%, which is less than the national decline. But in the fifth consecutive year of losses, many farmers will face unavoidable financial and legal difficulties. In the first 8 months of the current fiscal year, demand for FLAG's legal services has increased approximately 32%, and the amount of work required to adequately respond to those requests has increased by more than 38% compared to the same period 1 year ago. And not only is the number of requests higher, the nature of the help needed is more urgent, more complex, and requires more of FLAG's time and resources to address the problems compared to requests that occur in more typical years. FLAG does receive funding from the State Legal Services Advisory Committee to serve low-income Minnesota farmers, and we greatly appreciate and rely on that support. Due to the increased demand, those funds for this fiscal year have already been used up. We ran out of them in mid-March. We're continuing to help the Minnesota farmers, but without funding, we're operating more on sort of a triage mode than providing the real higher level of legal support that we could be providing to help Minnesota farmers facing the economic crisis. I expect a similar, perhaps worse, funding shortfall to occur again in fiscal year 2019, which HF 3515 would help cover. And with funding provided by the bill, we could also increase FLAG's efforts to provide legal assistance to farmers in financial distress, increase our outreach efforts so farmers are aware of FLAG and contact us sooner rather than later. We could increase our work with the Minnesota Farm Advocates Program and hold more legal training sessions with them, particularly on lending law, debtor-creditor, and farmer-lender mediation issues. We could conduct in-person outreach with other Minnesota nonprofit organizations and increase FLAG's capacity to respond to current legal needs of farmers. Again, we strongly support the bill. We thank Representative Poppe for introducing it, and thank you for considering it and inviting us to testify here today, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. We do have a question. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I ask my question, could you repeat the three places where you said you provide legal aid?
Mr. Carlson.
Well, we provide legal aid to really anybody who calls us. I'm not sure of the three places.
Okay, I guess I'll be a little more specific. Thank you for that. Do you provide legal aid for mostly financial issues, or do you provide legal aid for other issues as well that farmers are facing? Because they're facing a lot more issues out there than just the lending. The lending is a huge part of it, I know, but they're facing actually the state itself is coming after the farmers for different fees, fines, regulations that they're constantly battling and trying to stay in business. And do you provide legal aid for those things?
Yes, we provide, Chairman and members of the committee, we provide legal advice really on any agricultural issue that arises. We do a lot of work on disaster assistance, federal farm programs, crop insurance, risk management, the lending law, property rights, you know, really any issue that arises that's within agriculture, we'll provide legal advice.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then the rest is just a comment. First of all, thank you. Hope this bill goes through without any problems. This is well needed. But the thing I'd like to make a point of here is that we are constantly battling state agencies that are coming after our agricultural community, it seems like. I don't know a better way to put it. And now on the backside, we're providing legal aid for the farmers, when maybe what we should be doing is taking a look at some of the regulations that are out there and seeing which ones are needed and which ones are not, and trying to relieve some of that pressure on the back end, which would help these dollars stretch further. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Green. Chair Anderson, back to your question.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I apologize for the, I guess, daydreaming. But anyway, to the testifier, thank you for the program.
And I'm on to the rest of the show here. But anyway, at one point you mentioned you would talk to anybody to call, then you mentioned you are somewhat income-based. Could you clear that up for me, please?
Well, FLAG has several sources of funding, one of which is the funding from that we currently receive from the state, from LSAC. They have income guidelines. We can only use that funding to provide legal services to basically low-income farmers. And the income guideline is 200% of the poverty. Other sources of funding, we receive sources of funding from private philanthropic foundations. We have several cooperative agreements. They're called with federal agencies. Generally, there aren't income limits with regard to those sources.
Okay. Chair Anderson. Yeah, just a quick follow-up. Some discussion that the farmers shouldn't have any trouble meeting income guidelines in a year like this, but what about asset limits? Some of our programs for RFA have asset limits. Do you have anything like that?
We do not consider assets. It's the income at the time that they're seeking representation.
Okay. Chair Anderson. Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton. So, and thank you for your work. It's very important work. I have a difficult question and somewhat controversial. And that is, you mentioned some history in what you were describing as the existence of FLAG and how it came into being, and that there are times when you battle against agencies that don't give full information or don't explain in a helpful way. And looking at the history of agriculture over some years, we've gone through a period where I think corporate influences have affected how agriculture works. And behind the kind of corporate interests, we have a balancing act between efficiency and equity. And we weigh heavily on the efficiency side rather than looking at equity and helping farmers survive in a difficult economy. And these corporate interests are taken over in many ways. 150 years ago, 160 years ago, farmers joined together, formed political parties, and pushed back against the banks, pushed back against the corporations, and tried to stand up for themselves and make a difference. And as government, in that respect, they kind of maybe settled the argument, unfortunately, in the favor of corporations instead of farmers. And I guess my question to you is, because you're operating in a system where you're kind of trying to help people just survive, are there things that we could do, from your perspective, as government, who care about equity, care about the farmers and the prices they get? I mean, in my thinking, a lot of the corporate interests benefit from low prices and the kind of economy where things are harder for farmers. So there's an imbalance there. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, as government officials, other things we could do to tip that balance back more towards equity.
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, from FLAG's perspective, as you know, a nonprofit law center, I think the thing that's most important is that farmers are aware of their rights and are able to exercise them. We don't advocate any particular policy of government, but I think it's, you know, most important that farmers be represented and know their rights and are able to exercise them.
Representative Bly.
Thank you. I mean, one of the things that disturbs me, too, is that we constantly hear about its regulations or its other things that government's doing to come down on farmers that make their lives more difficult or ruin rural America, when in many cases those agencies are required to protect neighbors from pollution or from other things. And, you know, yes, I'm sure it does add stress to people who are operating in that way. But I think we ignore the impact that corporate America has. We need corporations. I don't mean to say we shouldn't have them, but corporate America perhaps has too much influence and power, and we ignore the impact that they have on the stress that that farmers deal with, rather than looking at you know, what kind of the easy targets of agencies doing their job to try to protect neighbors and try to protect people who live in rural America. So I'm troubled, I guess, by our conversation when you leave that aspect out of the conversation, and we don't think necessarily about what we can do to level the playing field in that respect. So I just wanted to offer that. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think current witness and others have referred to the farm credit crisis as being the origin of some of the problems, and it's today as well. And I'm just wondering if you give me a percentage today that you think of the folks who are needing the services that you and others offer for advocacy and mental health are due to banking and farm finance-related pressures. Do you have a percentage that you might be able to say about that?
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, you're asking about a percentage of, say, the farmers that FLAG is currently helping? Well, it's on the increase. I would say right now it's probably about a third of the farmers that we directly help. But there are many more than that who are looking at FLAG publications for information that don't ever talk to us. And, you know, so they're helping themselves with our information. But I would say it's about a third of the farmers right now that we're helping. I think someone from the Farm Advocates Program would probably have a better idea because they're actually out there dealing with the farmers. But
maybe we could
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering about that because it seems like some of the issues around financing are ones that I've heard the most about, people being able to stay in business or not being able to stay in business. And so I want to just say one thing, too, about that, because I was around when FLAG was started, and I was actually around in the 1980s. I was a brand-new legislator, and I can tell you we had incredible things happen where farmers came from all over Minnesota in their tractors and circled the state capitol, and they brought with them the auction announcements about foreclosures that were happening to them. And they went to the gallery in the house, and they rolled them down, and they filled the whole gallery all the way around with all the auction foreclosures that were happening. It was very impressive. And those farmers, they took another kind of action. They came and they talked to the elected officials, and believe me, we did some changes in those days. And I just think that's when your organization and others got started. And so much of it had to do with financing and what was or was not available in some of those pressures. So I guess I'm wanting to make sure that we understand that the issue of financing agriculture today is really very important and that we may need to look at some more ways to deal with that. I know the federal farm bill is only part of it, and there's things that we could do at the state as well. Anyway, I just thank you for your work, and I just wanted to – I guess I'd like to follow up more with the other organization, too, maybe not right now, but later, about what percentage of these folks are dealing with farm credit issues, farm financing issues,
And Representative Poppy, thank you for bringing this forward. I think it's really important, and I hope we can fund this and some of the other ones that have been brought forward today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment to Representative Bly's comments. We're kind of really enlarging the scope of the bill here, but there seems to be among some push to vilify corporations and such, and big is bad, but Minnesota has some pretty strong anti-corporate farming laws in our state, and we work on that. And agriculture has changed. It's gotten bigger, just like not a lot of mom-and-pop grocery stores left either. Things are changing, and the margins are tight. Margins are small, and you have to increase your volume to come out ahead in any event if you're going to try to make a profit. So not all is bad, and corporations do some good things. They help with technology, things like that, and I just sometimes feel uncomfortable when we complain about some things that are in our country, and yet they also do some good things. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Bly, your name was mentioned. I don't know if you want to follow.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I don't think I said that corporations were evil or that they shouldn't exist, just as clarification. But I think that the power that corporations have has skewed things in a way where I think it's harder for farmers to make it. And that was my point, is that, and I agree with you, Minnesota has had some very strong anti-corporate laws, and that's a result, I think, of the farm movements in the past where people have come forward. It's why North Dakota has a state bank, for instance, because they didn't want to give sway to the eastern banks that were controlling everything. Perhaps that's something we could look at in Minnesota, is try to make sure that we have that kind of financing here in Minnesota. But I didn't mean to argue that corporations were evil or shouldn't exist. And I just think there needs to be a balance, and we've missed out a lot on that notion of equity, making sure that farmers can make it. There used to be a push among farm country talking about parity, you know, making sure that farming could be profitable. And those are ideas I think that maybe we should look at again. Maybe we should start talking about that rather than just allowing the corporate interests that are, you know, based really thinking about a world market. This is another argument that happened in agriculture as well. And I just brought it up as a point I was interested in hearing what the testifier might answer. But I appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Representative Bly. We have 3 minutes. And left in our committee time. It's a very sensitive topic, a very important topic. I want to thank everybody for the discussion. Representative Poppy, do you have anybody else who would like to testify? I know one of your testifiers already testified to this bill earlier, so I'll ask one more time. Is there anybody else who would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, any closing comments, Representative Poppy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that it's been a far-reaching conversation here, but the key is that farmers are struggling. Farm families are hurting, and there are a number of resources that we can help to provide some assistance. And Minnesota is unique in that we have a mental health counseling program that's unique to Minnesota, and that we have FLAG, which is unique in Minnesota. So we have been progressive. We have been, we've been in front of the dime as much as we can be in order to try to address these issues. And I think we just, you know, again, this isn't the 1980s, but it's very similar. And we're trying to, you know, highlight again what these resources are and hopefully can provide some additional assistance again in this really tough time. And I very much appreciate the opportunity today, Mr. Chair. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Poppy. And like I said, this is a very, very important topic. And I know there was some others that wanted to talk on an issue totally separate from this. We're going to have to reschedule that for